All right, so we've been spending time just on that whole heart and the whole side of God. We want to be a people who can be saved, filled with Holy Spirit, which should make us the most relatable people on the face of the earth, right? We should be, outside of these walls, we should be absolutely the most, you know, salt and light experience for everybody we come in contact with. And so as I'm, you know, just really, for me personally, as I'm really digging into what that means for context outside of the church walls, right? What does that mean for us to live in such a way that we are fully holy, the holiness of God emanates like the holiness of God, you know, like that really thing that sets us apart. What does it mean to be holy and relatable? Does that make sense? And so, because you always kind of struggle with, I don't know whether you do, but I always kind of struggle with the idea of like, I want to be absolutely light and darkness, but I want to be in that place where I'm, like I say, relatable, that I can go and have any conversation with anybody and that they would feel absolutely loved and absolutely, you know, in that place where I can have a conversation and they would know the love of God that flows through my life for them and not feel judged by, you know, the lifestyle that they're living, all right? Does that make sense? And so that's kind of that thing of how do you be fully holy and relatable? And it's like, has anybody else struggle with that sort of thought? Just me. Okay. So I'm going to preach to myself today and it'll be awesome. You know, how do we walk like Jesus and how he was with everybody, as well as maintain, like we look at Paul, we read the epistles and we're like, dang, Paul was, you know, he was a crazy holiness guy, right? And so how do we kind of walk out that in a way to be in that? And so our theology, everything of our theology needs to be, we don't want to be extracted from the world, you know what I mean? Like, once we leave these doors, we don't want to be like, God, keep me safe from the evil that's around about, you know, everywhere I go, you know, this person and their lifestyle and this person and how they're living. And, you know, we don't want to be that type of people. We have to be absolutely, we've got the answers of life. We've got the living Spirit of God living on the inside of us, right? We carry the God of the God of the universe is on the inside of us. So we should have the answer to every question, right? And so there is, I believe, as I'm digging into this more, man, I'm like, God, you are making us to be the most relatable people that we can be. That's what we've got to be, all right? No longer Christian weirdos, right? You know how we get that kind of label? Honestly, I believe that we should be the most relatable people that there is, you know? So often we're not. So often we carry an air of weirdness about us, you know, and I'm talking in, you know, broad spectrum, you know, people think there's something weird about us, yet we should be and carry and be the most relatable people that we can possibly be. And so the problem, as I've kind of dug in and I'm looking at this and going, it's like, in a lot of senses, we've become modern day Pharisees, okay? The Christian church.
Go ahead, speak it.
All right, Matthew 23. We'll go there. Because the Pharisees were... I agree with that cough. The Pharisees were... They'd built themselves a theology of separation, right? They'd built themselves around this idea that they wanted to separate themselves from sin, right? And so all that the laws, like God gave the law through Moses, And then it added, we talked about this before, how they added all these extra laws to the laws, the Mishnah, okay, which created, it wasn't just the law that God gave to us, but it was like all these extra steps that created this place of separation. And so most of what Jesus ragged on was the separation that they'd created, all right? And so in Luke 11, Matthew 23, in verse 23, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the most important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Yeah, you should tithe, right? Okay, it's important we tithe, okay? But do not neglect the most important thing. You blind guides, you strain the water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but yet you swallow a camel. Boom. Jesus is bringing the smackdown, all right? What sorrow awaits you, hypocrites, for you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean. And then he goes on to rag on them a bit more. But most of the stuff that Jesus was really going after was that they wanted to be in this place of separation. So, like, if a Pharisee even, a prostitute, if he even came near to one, he was considered ceremonially unclean. All these things. Well, look at you, cutie pie. Aren't you just the cutest? That was cute. Very cute. That's one cute kid right there, Callie. And a very blessed kid. We are so grateful for you. Some. Boom. So they were all these different interactions. The Pharisees, you know, they would be considered ceremonially unclean if they did this, or did they, like if they were within a certain distance of people. So it was very much a thing of separation, right? And so it's crazy how Jesus, all the interactions he had, were going against all of these things of separation. The woman at the well, for him to engage in conversation with a woman in that situation who was considered. That, yeah, she was considered to be one, you know, an unclean person, right? Zacchaeus, tax collector, right? So he often engaged with the tax collectors. The woman who came in to anoint Jesus' feet, remember when she comes in, right? For her to come into a gathering like that, for Jesus to allow this woman to touch him, you know, she anointed him, you know, wet her, it was her tears and wiping her hair on him. These were considered major, major things. You know, contextually, these were huge, right? They were massive things of going against the place of separation. He was always eating with the tax collectors and other notorious sinners. And so for us, we can see from Jesus' life that we don't live a life separated, okay? But we can still be holy and be connected with people. And so it seems like, and this is my own personal, like, we're really good with the don'ts of what we're not supposed to do, right?
For others.
Yeah, for others. Like, we're really good on, like, we've got our sin theology down on what we're not supposed to do, right? And so we really do approach, like, Paul's letters to us, where he's like, in Ephesians 3, and we'll go there, in Colossians 5, and the things that we're not supposed to do. It seems like the church has become very Pharisaical in that we're aware of don't get drunk with wine, don't be gluttonous, don't be, you know, pride, sexual sin. We're aware of these things. Ephesians 5, sorry. Like, we're super aware of, you know, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity or greed among you. You know, such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse joking. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You know, we're very aware of that. Colossians 3 as well. This is not news to us, is it?
No.
these things. Let me go. Colossians 3. In Jesus. Yep. Blah, 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 blah. Good thought.
Reach it, girl.
I should have written it down. I wrote down Colossians 3. I should have written it down exactly. Since God chose you to be holy people, clothe yourselves with tenderness, mercy. No, that wasn't what I was going after. Blah, 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 blah. But now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. Like, we're very aware of the don'ts of how we're supposed to live. And yet, Paul wrote these letters to the church. These were letters to the Christians, right? On how they should live holy. Yet, we've taken this in a broad context and we've applied this separation mentality to how we deal with people outside of these walls. And we're surprised that the world lives like the world, and because they live with dirty language and sexual immorality and all these different stuff, we separate ourselves from engaging with the people, right? Does that make sense? Do we recognize that we do that? And, I mean, even Jesus in his teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount, yeah, there was a whole lot of don'ts there, but there was a whole lot more that he was saying, listen, you've added all this stuff to the law. Let's move beyond that in the way that we actually can relate to people. So the real question is, do we put as much emphasis on the don'ts of Scripture rather than the things that God actually tells us to do? Does that make sense? The do's of what God's asking us to do and how we live are the things that will actually make us the attractive people to the outside world. Okay? And so Jesus was so cool on this. He's like, okay, in the context of a Roman culture where a Roman soldier could come up to you and make you carry his bag for a mile. There was a kind of a rule around that sort of thing. And Jesus is saying, listen, you want to be in this culture and you want to make a difference, not only carry it 1 mile, but how about you carry it 2? You know, somebody comes up in an honor and shame culture where somebody would slap you, which was considered a huge dishonor. But it's like, you know, the principle of turn the other cheek was based around an honor-based thing, right? You've heard it said through the Sermon on the Mount, but I tell you this, right? And how much more will the do's of Scripture be actually more important for us to be in the world and actually be relatable? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Romans 12, 9. Okay, he says, don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And it's like the do's of what God's actually asking us to do are as much as important as the don'ts that keep us away from sin. Does that make sense? So the real question is, if we're going to be followers of Christ, we need to, as well as the things that we know we're supposed to not do, is it as much a sin to not do the things that we know we are supposed to do? Does that make sense, right? And so when it comes in the light of that context, the importance of actually doing the things like when God says to, you know, carry the bag the extra mile, that we are supposed to love, when we are really loving people, are we in as much sin when we're not doing the things that we know we're supposed to do as we are? If we're not loving people, is that as much a sin? Does that make sense? I'm not doing a really good job of explaining it here. This morning it was really clear in my head, but you know. Right? The things that we are supposed to do are actually the things that make us more relatable and more followers of Christ outside of these walls. Are we in as much sin when we don't take care of widows and orphans and love our enemies as much as we love ourselves? Are we in as much sin when we don't love our wives, be subject to one another, give generously to everyone as they have need? Those things, to me, are as much of a sin as staying away from the don'ts of Scripture. Does that make sense? Yeah. Those are the things that make us the people of God that we're supposed to be. And this quote here, in other words, we need to learn all things that we can do instead of limiting ourselves based on a few things that we are to avoid. The do's of our biblical walk are the things of life that will open the door to people's hearts. Our job, I believe, is this idea of when we're outside of these walls is my responsibility is with the do's of Scripture is how can I help move somebody one step closer to God, right? You know, if there was 10 steps in a person's life between being totally broken and lost and actually being a full disciple of Christ, right? Maybe the responsibility of me is, God, what can I do in bringing that person one step closer to you? What can I do with the do's of loving somebody, with the do's of serving somebody, with the do's of how you related to somebody? How can I be in that person's life to help change the assumption of God that they have to move them one step closer? Does that make sense? Maybe my job is to love somebody well enough to be trusted and actually allowed into their life. Maybe that's what I need. That we're after disciples, not converts. Our goal is not the end. You know, when a person prays the prayer, great, right? The prayer is not as important as the person coming to actual laying down their life before him. Does that make sense? And we can see from Paul how good he did this for somebody who was, and Paul, you know, Paul was a Pharisee, right? He was a religious, you know, as far as knowing the don'ts of what he wasn't supposed to do as a Jewish Pharisee, yet God heaped on him the revelation of, you know what, you have a responsibility to go to the Gentile church, right? 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 23. 19, even though I am a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I'm with the Jews, I live like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I'm with those who follow the Jewish law, I live under that law, even though I am not subject to it, so that I can bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles, I do not follow the Jewish law. I live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, when I find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Right? And so it's this idea of Paul, and particularly, let's go over, and again in chapter 10, verses 31 through 11:1. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to the Jews or the Gentiles or the church of God too. I try to please everyone in everything I do. I do just what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul exhibits that we can be holy and be like Jesus. As he was with people, Paul was able to overlook the strict traditions of the Jewish law as long as he was not transgressing the clear sin issues and his personal conscience. Paul had the ability, right, to... He's a Jew who knows the Jewish law. He knows and understands that, yet he's with a Gentile culture, and yet he is relatable enough that he understands what it means to win some, right? His goal is not to win everybody, but his goal was to win some. So he's like, I'm going to do whatever I can do to win people. Doesn't matter what it is, right? I'm not going to transgress the clear, my conscience and the law, right? He's got a clear understanding of the things, the don'ts. He has a very clear understanding of the don'ts, but he's not going to let that restrict him to the things that are the do's of the gospel of loving his neighbor and doing whatever it takes to win those who are lost. Does that make sense? Matthew 28, you know, we are called to make disciples, teaching them all that Jesus has taught us. So we get to be like Jesus with those Jesus would have been with. We get to be like him in that sense, so that we can hold people's journey to Jesus with a light hand. It's not my I'm not saving them. I'm not the one who saves people. Jesus is the one who saves people. So how people live with their lifestyle and where they're at, it's okay. It's actually not a big, for me, it's not a big deal, right? My responsibility is, God, how can I love them and be in their life and help move them one step closer to you? How can I be the, yes, I'm not going to transgress my conscience. I'm not going to, change how I live, but I can still be around people who are not the same as I am and love them in a way that brings them into a relationship with him. I want to create room for Holy Spirit to reach every person and whatever that open door might be in their life. See, that's the question we need to ask is, Holy Spirit, in this situation, what is the open door into this person's life? What is the open door of opportunity that I have to love them, to relate to where they're at? Because everybody's got brokenness. Everybody's got stuff. You know, the sin, the obvious sin, is actually not the issue for me in regards to Holy Spirit. What is the place that I can be involved in their life, that they can be honored, that they can be loved, that they can be who that they need to be, and you, Holy Spirit, can be the one who changes their hearts and life. Behavior doesn't change till hearts do.
That's right.
Right? And so the behavior, this is the part that we, the Western Church, is missed, is we've so separated ourselves based on people's behavior, not realizing that's actually not the issue. The issue is God wants hearts, and he wants to use us through the do's of life. Gain a heart so that the behavior might change. Allow somebody to feel dignified, honored, and loved despite their way of life. Allow room for conversation, no matter how slanted it might be. Like that's why I love things like Alpha and different things like that, because Alpha is based around this idea of, come and let's have a conversation about life and spirituality, right? And so, you know, obviously there is a journey in the Alpha course that takes people on that journey to Jesus. But having a conversation within a group and people with points of view that are far out there, but if you've got people coming to a conversation about spirituality in life, then you're in the right place, right? That's what we're about. We're about, what is it that opens the door into somebody's life that allows me the room, or allows you, Holy Spirit, to have the room to show them the love of God, to open up a way for them, right? So that you can have your way. I love my guys, the group of guys that I deal with, because I know there is a group, there's an element of spirituality there. Their behavior, okay, is in a lot of ways far from God, but it is a place where there is conversation about spiritual things that allows them to come on that next step that brings them closer to God. John 12, Jesus says, I came to love the world, not to judge it, but to save it, okay? It's not my job. I'm not the judger. It's not my job, but I can be involved in a healing and saving process in somebody's life, okay? That I can love somebody unconditionally without condoning behavior. I can love somebody unconditionally so that I can allow Holy Spirit to get to the heart, right? And then let him be the one who does the changing of the behavior. We've got to be people who are really good at getting past the surface issues. You know, the stuff, the lifestyles and the places of how people live and their language. You know, none of that should be, it doesn't affect me. You know, it's like, you know, I don't care the language. I don't care about the lifestyle because I'm more interested in God getting to your heart. Because we need to be relatable. Some quotes. If we're more concerned with what we can't do instead of what we can do, we will miss out on being true followers of Jesus. We need to hold the whole holiness issue with just an open hand of a place of just holding it lightly. That we can have a posture that allows people to be themselves and still knowing, having that quiet in a posture that shines through and subversively witnesses to an alternative way of life. Okay? To live with ease, humor, love, and holiness without being swayed away from clear biblical boundaries. Okay? So we understand, you know, we have that inner conviction of right and wrong, right? We know those things. But to be able to take that and be relatable outside of these walls is what God's asking us to go after. John 17, when Jesus is praying this prayer, he's praying, God, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, okay? We're never meant to be out of the world, but to keep them safe in it. And that's our role. So it was, as I'm just spending time, and I'm just about done, we're going to be done early today, which is good for Steve and his team. How are they going? Are they winning? You haven't looked? Not once? Wow. There's...
I'm concerned that you're surprised.
If it was my team, I would have looked, but, you know, I'm obviously not as holy as you are, so there you go.
Keep showing up,
Lori. Yeah. Relatable holiness. That's what God's asking us to go after. And that's what I believe is going to change this community, is that we can be a people who understand what it is to, you know, we know, you know, we all know right from wrong. We all know a level of holiness, and God is continuing to go after that in our hearts and lives where, you know, he speaks to us and we, okay, There's things in our lives, our hearts and lives, that God is wanting to, that he's speaking to us individually with, right?
Yep.
And that's important that we continue to go after that. But my, I guess the encouragement is that I don't take what God is speaking to me and look at somebody outside of these walls and go, well, because you're not living there, then, you know, I can't relate to you, right? No matter what God's doing in our heart and life, we shouldn't apply that to outside of these walls. We should be going after people with the heart of saying, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to speak into that person's heart and life to move them one step closer? What is it that you want to be able to do so that we can have a conversation? You know, even weird, even somebody with some weird spirituality, you know, out there stuff is more open to God than somebody who is a religious Christian, all right? Who shut off from the fact of who God is,
yeah.
Right? We want to be in that place where we can go, God, what is it that is the open door of opportunity to speak into some people's lives? We were listening to a podcast last night from Pete Gregg, and he was talking about this guy who was a friend of Brennan Manning, you know, blah, 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 whatever, it doesn't matter. But this guy had cancer. And it was coming kind of near the end of his life. And he just took the last season of his life and he went and sat on like the park bench in just a kind of a gnarly part of town with the homeless and the people and all these guys who would be considered to be kind of the rough crowd, right? And he just spent time in conversation, loving them, being a part of their life, engaging in their hearts and lives, engaging as far as, you know, what's going on in your life, how, you know, and as he grew with the relationship of these people and then they found out who he was and what he did, it was a way that he was able to connect with these people, to reach the people who were lost. Okay, and I haven't explained it, and you can just listen to it. It's on Bridgetown. But it was just a really cool, again, another reality check of who has God put in our world right now, right? Carl's world right now is Rotary, right? I keep forgetting that. But Carl was right in the thick of the Rotary world. That those are his people to pastor. You know, right now, God's put an open door of opportunity amongst, you know, his kids and his kids' friends. Who are the people in our world right now that God is asking us to relate to with love and compassion and to be able to meet those people right where they're at so that Holy Spirit can move them on? Their sin is not the issue, right? At the end of the day, that's a behavior. The issue is the heart before God. That's what we're after. That's what God wants, is he wants to meet hearts and lives. Jesus. Any thoughts, questions, because we're done so early? Comments? Anything to add?
No, it's good.
Wonderful.
Okay. Jesus. God, you're good. God, meet hearts and lives. God, make us, God, may we be more relatable because of you. God, may we be the most loving, like Jesus, Lord, who's given us an example of how to be with people and be relatable. God, help us to be relatable with every person we come in contact with, not because we compromise anything of who you are and what you've made us to be, but because we actually have the answers of life because you're on the inside of us. You are on the inside of us, and I thank you for that. And so I ask today that we would be filled to overflowing. God, fill us to overflowing with you, Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing, that we can walk with a level of holiness and relatability. Lord God, that the don'ts of Scripture married to the do's, the things that you've asked us to do, would be so important to us. That we can love, we can honor, we can carry the bag the extra mile. We can meet people right where they're at because you are on the inside of us. So, Father, we thank you for this time together as family. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for just the blessing of this little girl. What's her name?
Lila.
Lila. We thank you for Lila and her life. God, we ask that you would pour into her. What a miracle and a blessing she is. She is a miracle. We thank you for that. What a blessing, Lord God, for this little girl. Thank you, Father, that her life would love you and represent you all her days. Thank you for Kelly and her family, Lord God. Pour into them all that they need. Lord God, through the seasons of a baby and all the dynamics that go on there, the sleep and everything else. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each heart and life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.